We're in verse, I think we stopped in verse 23. We'll go through a little bit of an overview and then we'll keep moving forward. We'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for a place to come to, Lord, and out of the weather, out of the sun, out of the rain, out of the snow, out of the ice, Lord, and we're just very fortunate here, and we're thankful. And Father, we thank you that you've given us your words. Without them, we'd be lost, and we'd have no faith at all. We wouldn't know what we would be. We'd just be imagining things. And we're just grateful, Lord, that you just gave us your words. And we pray now that you would just open our eyes and our hearts and our ears to them, and that we may see how to better walk with you and how to better have a relationship with you. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Verse 23. Here's Jesus. Peter has just confessed that Jesus is the Son of the Living God. He's telling the disciples that he's going to be killed and he's going to be raised again the third day. He gave them the gospel, right? And Peter took him. Verse 22, and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned, verse 23, and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And so we find Peter's rebuking, he's just rebuked Jesus, right? Jesus gave him some words, and Peter doesn't believe him. He's saying, this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And he has yet again, Peter has yet again taken his eyes off of Jesus and is sinking, folks. And when you take your eyes off the Word of God and you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to sink. You're going to sink. This verse shows you how fast you can lose a spiritual battle. All right? 1 minute, you can profess that Jesus is the Son of the Living God. And the next minute, you can say, I don't believe what he said. And I don't believe what God wrote in his Bible. I just can't believe what he wrote. I don't understand it, so I'm not going to believe it. And 1 minute, everything can be going great in your life, and you're blessing God. And the next minute, you can deny that you even know Him by your actions. And that's something. Hey, I lost a spiritual battle last couple weeks, right? I'll tell you what, it was hard. It was hard. 1 minute, you could be teaching up here. The next minute you can be saying, being mad at God for weeks, right? And he gets you through it. But just because you got to deal with the problem. And so it just shows you, you have to be on guard. You have to be on guard. 1 minute you can be blessing God. Next minute you're cursing Him. And so you got to be careful, and you got to be careful to say that'll never happen to me. I'm just too spiritual, because the moment you say it, bam, here it comes, and it just blindsides you. You never see it coming. You never see it coming. So you got to be constantly on guard, constantly looking for that, because we're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And the truth is, folks, this can happen to any Christian at any time in his life. Pastor, teacher, evangelist, happens all the time. They fall off the wayside left and right, left and right. And so, hey, folks, you know what Satan wants you to do? He wants you to start talking to him. That's what he wants. And we ought never, as Christians, to ever, ever have to say one word to the devil. we should never have to. Because we've got Jesus. If you're a Christian, you've got Jesus fighting your battles for you. And we just got to believe what he says. We got to believe what he says. The moment we take our eyes off the truth, that's the moment the devil is standing right there, right in front of you. And last week I made the statement that we never have to say one word to Satan. And that's true, folks. We just need to keep looking at Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Let's look at that real quick. Hebrews 12:2. It says right here, wherefore, verse 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. It's easy, to folks, to not to believe God's words. That's what Peter's just done. Very easy to say, oh, this can't be so, what I've just read. It's pretty easy to do that. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Right? He's the author of your faith. He's the finisher of your faith. Guess what that means? You wouldn't have any faith if it wasn't for Jesus. If he didn't give you his words, you wouldn't have anything to believe but your own thoughts and your own imaginations. And we have wicked imaginations, folks, and we have wicked thoughts. But Jesus, he's got pure thoughts. And he wants us to look unto him. He'll take care of rebuking the devil. Just as the archangel Michael wouldn't rebuke the devil. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Nor should a Christian ever rebuke the devil. We shouldn't say one word to him. That's worship, folks. When you start talking to the devil, you're starting to have a conversation with him. Guess what? He don't care how he gets worship. He don't care. As long as you say a word to him, that's all he wants. He's won. We don't have to say anything. Faith comes to us by the word of God, and it becomes your faith. Becomes your faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. You didn't have it. You have it when you received it. It's yours. Becomes yours. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. And so, what has Peter done? He's put his eyes on what man thinks, folks. That's what he's done. He's put his eyes on what man thinks instead of what God thinks. And he's allowed the devil to get in the way of his relationship with Jesus Christ. Go back, if you would, to Matthew and look at what Jesus does. Matthew 16. But he turned and said unto Peter, okay, if Jesus is here facing this way, and he turns, now I don't know if he turned completely around, but where is the devil's place? It's behind Jesus. And so if he's turning around to see what's behind him, to look at Peter, and guess what he sees? He sees the devil. Peter has put himself behind Jesus. And that's where the devil's place is. We're supposed to be looking unto Jesus. We're supposed to be having a conversation with him. We're supposed to be having fellowship with him. How do you have fellowship with a person when their back is turned? You don't. You don't. Jesus had to turn around. Get that fellowship back. And so what does he do? He rebukes the devil. We're not to be saying, folks, when we're in the Bible, having our relationship with Jesus, this shall not be. This is not going to happen. It's going to happen this way, Lord. We shouldn't be saying that. We should be believing what is written in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that the devil came into Peter, folks. It doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say he entered into Peter. You don't hear Jesus casting Peter out. Peter put himself in a position where he's not in fellowship with Jesus anymore, and that's behind Jesus. And the devil's place is behind Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He puts the devil back in his place. That's exactly what he does. He rebukes the devil. And what else does he do? He rebukes Peter. He rebukes Peter. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter started thinking that his thoughts were higher than Jesus' thoughts. And that's how he fell out of fellowship with Jesus. Didn't believe his words. Didn't want to believe what Jesus had to say. And so, Jesus, he wants a personal relationship with us. And you can't have that with him if you don't believe what he's saying to you, folks. It's just that simple. And so we need to see this. And so the most important thing in a Christian's life is their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you get behind Jesus, you know who you're going to find? When you don't want to listen to him, when you don't want to trust in his words, when you don't want to believe what he says, you're going to find the devil. And then what you're going to have to do is get right with God. Let him get that victory. Let him rebuke the devil. And then let him rebuke you. Right? If you don't let him rebuke you, you're going to stay in the same position. So you got to take the rebuke. He's going to deal with you as a child. Take the rebuke. Get right with God. And move forward. And that's how you get that that battle taken care of. And so that's how you get back in the right relationship. Take your whipping and move forward. And so, what is the issue in life here? What is the issue? What do you savor? What do you savor? What is spicy to you? Is the Word of God more spicy? Or is your thoughts, or is man's thoughts more spicy in your life? Would you rather hear God, or would you rather hear somebody else? And so we have to think, what is more important to us, God's words or men? And so we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be satisfied with God's words. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, folks, here is a great picture of how a person can get saved. If you want Jesus, folks, then it has to be his way. If you're seeking Jesus, it's got to be his way. And what does he say? If any man will come after me first, or let him deny himself. That's the first thing. Let him deny himself. You have to deny yourself. What does the Bible say? There's none good but one. And that is God. That's found in Matthew 19:17, folks. None good but one. That is God. What does the Bible say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Found in Romans, folks. What does the Bible say? But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Found in Isaiah 64:6. Deny yourself. Realize you're a sinner. Repent. That's how you deny yourself. Realize you're no good. Second is, and take up his cross. What's everybody's cross in life, folks? What does God want everybody to do? The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to come to His salvation. He wants everybody to be saved. And so what's everybody's cross? Receive the gospel, folks. Receive the saving grace of God, the gospel of your salvation. And it's everybody's cross to receive that gospel. But not everybody's going to pick it up. Not everybody's going to take it. And the odds are, folks, that once you've denied yourself, once you've realized you're no good, and once you've received that gospel, you've taken up His cross, taken up your cross. Your cross is to take, receive that gospel, folks. Once you've done that, the odds are that and follow me, that you're going to follow Jesus. Go with me, if you would, to let me see. Look what happens to you. Romans 6. Let's look what happens when you take up that cross. Romans 6:3. And then we'll go to Colossians. But Romans 6:3 first. This is what happens when you take up that cross, you receive the gospel. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in His likeness, in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Guess what happened to you, old man? When you got saved, when you trusted the gospel, you got placed on that cross, right? You got placed on the cross. You pick up that cross, you're going to die on it, but you're going to live. The real you will live. The old you dies. Amen. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Verse 21. When you do that, and those that do that, odds are they're gonna keep following Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He wants you to keep following. Hey, you believe the gospel. Start believing how to walk in this life. It's all instructed in it in the Bible. The instruction's there. But if you don't keep following, if you don't keep checking, doing checks on yourself, if you don't keep reading the Bible, don't keep trusting in God's promises, it's going to be kind of hard to follow Him, right? And so, let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 16. Verse 25, for whosoever, well, and we'll get into the doctrinal part of this here in a little bit. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And so if you seek to save yourself by your works, your way, you'll be found wanting. Daniel 5:27 starts out, it says, Tekel, capital letters, T-E-K-E-L. Though thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting, that's what will happen. When God puts you in his balance, it's not going to balance out. You're going to be found wanting. And you're not going to be able to pay what you need to pay to make that equal. And so, if you don't savor the things of man, if you savor the things of your man, of man, which is yourself, just as Peter, he fell into the same trap, then you're going to lose your life. You lose your way. When the Word of God shows up, and you deny yourself, and you believe the Word, and you trust Christ for what He did. Not for what you did, not for what you can do, for what He did, for His sake. Then you won't be found wanting when you're placed in the balances. Verse 26, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Hey, what if you could have stopped the Lord from death on the cross, Peter? You ever ask that question? What if you could have stopped the Lord? How would you have profited? How would we all have profited? Will you give your way in exchange for your soul? Sadly, many do. Many do. When the Lord shows up in verse 27, He's going to reward them according to their works. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. The Bible says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. No belief in the gospel? Punishment. Not knowing God, punishment. Obeying is believing, folks. That's believing. Found in Romans 9. Or Romans 10, 9. 9 and 10. Obeying is believing. And when you don't believe, you disobey. And obeying the gospel is believing it. And everyone on the face of this earth is commanded to obey that gospel, folks. And when they don't, they get punishment. If you don't believe the Word of God, you're not obeying the Word of God, and you don't know God. You don't know God. So when you don't believe that gospel, you're thumbing your nose and you don't know God. You don't know who He is. And guess what? He's not going to know who you are. And so, hey, folks, I didn't write this 2 Thessalonians. And so, what we're going to say here in a few minutes here, if you got a beef, take it up with God. All right? I didn't write that verse. And so, by the passage in Thessalonians, that's Jesus Christ's second coming, folks. And it looks as though all those that know not God and obey not the gospel are doomed at the second coming. Even those that make it to the end of the tribulation and help the Jew. They don't know God if they don't know the gospel. They don't obey the gospel, they don't know God. They've rejected what God did for them. And it looks like they're doomed to punishment, folks. Now let's look at these verses that I just went through doctrinally for those in a tribulation. All right? Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. First, in the tribulation, folks, a person's going to have to be seeking Jesus. He's going to have to be seeking him. And to seek Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to do things his way. And his way is to deny yourself, because you're no good, right? You're not good enough, and you need Jesus Christ. He's the only righteous. Now, he's going to be the only righteous then. Nothing changes there. And so, there's none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. That's here in this age. That's there in that age, folks. Romans 3:10. And so they're going to have to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what 2 Thessalonians said. Those that don't obey it are doomed. And that's taking up his cross. And after they do that, they have to follow Christ. That's where your faith without works is dead. You really believe in Jesus Christ? You really believe what he did for him? Then you need to follow him. That's in the tribulation. So what they do, they've denied themselves, they believe the gospel, which is obeying, and then it's manifested by their works. It's manifested by their works that they really did believe. They really did believe. Now in this age, you don't know who's a Christian. You don't know. But in the tribulation, it's going to be so bad, folks, you're going to know. And everybody else is going to know. Because everybody's going to be going one way, and if you're going that way, you didn't believe. And so, then they'll have to do what Jesus said. They'll have to follow Jesus, take care of that Jew that's in trouble. They won't take the mark of the beast. Now watch the motive, though. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, shall save it. That's the motive. And so, if you savor the things of man in the tribulation, then you won't be seeking after Jesus. And even if you don't agree and take the mark, and you don't take the mark, but you don't believe what he said, and you have good morals, morals good enough to help a Jew, to help somebody, but you didn't seek after Jesus, and you don't do it for his sake, and you don't know God, when Jesus shows up, punishment. Why? Because no motive. You didn't have the right motive. You didn't trust in Jesus. And you didn't do what he said for his sake. You did it for man's sake. You did it for your own moral sake. For your own conscience sake. You see how that works, folks? And so, here it goes. Here's a guy, trusts Jesus, he's seeking after Jesus, the gospel comes, he believes it, he finds out how he's supposed to act around Jews, he finds out he's not supposed to take the mark, and he's afraid, he fears God, and for Jesus' sake he doesn't take the mark, and for Jesus' sake he feeds that Jew, not knowing that he's feeding Jesus Christ, but for Jesus' sake he does that, not for his own. Then when Jesus shows up, this guy gets to go into the millennium. Why? They're not born again then, folks. But they still got to believe in Jesus Christ. And they still got to follow him. And they still got to do what he says. If they deny themselves, they'll get in. They'll get in. Verse 26. Now, I don't know. Before we go into verse 26, I don't know what happens to a Gentile, but a Jew in the tribulation that does this, if he dies, it looks like he gets resurrected into the millennium. If he doesn't make it to the end of the tribulation, but if he believes in Jesus And he denies himself. He's seeking after Jesus. He denies himself, and he helps who he can. Looks like he gets resurrected. But I don't know what happens to a Gentile. But it looks like both of them go to the white throne judgment and get judged. Okay? I don't know what happens if the Gentile gets resurrected in the millennium. But in the white throne judgment, God will justify him, and he'll justify him there if they do this. Verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? During the tribulation, what are you going to profit if in the tribulation you do things man's way? What are you going to profit? If you do things man's way in the tribulation, you're going to take the mark and do all this stuff. Guess what? You're going to have wealth beyond your dreams. What if in the tribulation you're rich beyond your dreams? In the end, you get punished, right? Because you didn't seek Jesus his way for his sake. What will you be able to exchange for your soul? Do you have an only begotten Son, sinless, to offer up to Jesus when he shows up? God had an only begotten Son, sinless, that he provided. You better have one, or you're not going to make it. Verse 27, why? Because Jesus is coming, and he's going to reward every man according to his works. Whether they were the works of man, or whether you did those things Christ asked for his sake. After you've denied yourself, after you've taken up your cross, which is to believe that gospel, folks. Folks, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. And we'll go ahead and stop there. And does anybody have anything they want to add? And does anybody have any questions before we pray and we'll have some fellowship time? Yes, brother. Yeah, amen. Brother, that's good stuff. Amen. All right, does anybody have anything else? We'll go ahead and pray and be dismissed. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your words. What a wonderful truth, Lord. And we're undeserving of your faith. We're undeserving of your truths, of your words, of your grace, of your mercy, but yet you still provide. It's amazing. And we just pray that you would just be with us for the rest of the day and help us to walk with you. For Christ's sake, amen.